Thanks for tuning in, folks. You are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live, drewmarshall.ca, and we're live right here on Joy 1250 in Southern Ontario. To my left is the Right Honourable David Peck. He is our sort of social justice guru. He's like our Jiminy Cricket, really. He is our conscience. Yeah.
I'm your conscience. Yeah. Wow. That's
I'm pretty in trouble impressive. If you're my conscience.
No kidding. Can I put that on my business card? Is that a possibility?
I don't think it'll help you at
Drew
all.
Drew Marshall's conscience.
Yeah. His website is davidpecklive.com. We've got a couple of guests on the phone with us. We've got kind of one conversation for this next roundtable discussion. And I just want to throw out, I guess, the premise of this conversation first. A Nobel Peace Prize nominee, Mama Maggie, the Mother Teresa of Cairo, is visiting Toronto for the first time on May 12th at 7 p.m. at Rexdale Alliance. And so some questions about this visit, about this whole topic, about everything she is about. What can Canadians learn from Egyptian culture, from the Muslim culture? What are the root problems of extreme poverty and social justice issues of all kinds, but especially as it pertains to the large number of orphans in Egypt? That's what we'll be discussing. On the phone with us right now is Mrs. Salwa Mouafi. She is the Deputy Chief of Mission, Embassy of the Arab Republic of Egypt. That is the longest title of any guest I've ever had on the show, and it's an honor to have you, Mrs. Mouafi. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm sorry for this long title. I'm sorry for that.
No, it's fine. I wish I had a big title like that. I got nothing.
A big reputation, of course.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Also on the phone with us is Dr. Marty Makari. He's the author of Mama Maggie, The Untold Story of One Woman's Mission to Love the Forgotten Children of Egypt's Garbage Slums. Marty, from what I hear, you want to be called Marty, not Dr. Makari. Is that okay, or did I just set you up?
Marty is perfect. That's what I insist on. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Marty is a professor at Johns Hopkins University and New York Times bestselling author of Unaccountable as well. He's written for the Wall Street Journal, Time, and Newsweek, and is a frequent health commentator for CNN and Fox News. He's led projects for the World Health Organization and is an advocate for transparency in healthcare. He lives in Washington, D.C., but don't hold that against him. Let's just go to you first, if you don't mind, Marty. You're the author of this book. Are you friends with Mama Maggie? I mean, did you grow up together? Did this just become like a sort of a pet project for you? Were you taken on an exposure trip to Egypt and fell in love with the kids and had to do something? I mean, what's the backstory behind the book?
Well, Mama Maggie is, I'm related to her. She is my aunt, but I did not know her and was not friends with her growing up. I grew up in the United States. I was born in England. She is embedded there in our Egyptian heritage, and unlike my family, she did not leave Egypt. And she had a good life, and then started working with the poor kids in the garbage slums. And as this ministry grew and grew and grew, I had heard about it, and then I had heard there was a need for a doctor to go because they had health clinics. And I do like to volunteer my time. I'm a cancer surgeon at Johns Hopkins, and I do like to volunteer my time overseas, so I said, sure, I'll go reconnect with this relative and learn about this ministry. And sure enough, I went over there, was blown away by what I saw. I, by the way, was useless, Drew. They don't need a Hopkins cancer surgeon in the slums of Egypt. They just need someone to love them and primary care, pediatrics and stuff that I'm so far removed from. But I was so blown away by it after my book Unaccountable did so well. Mama Maggie said, can you use your platform and your name out there as an author to tell our story? And I teamed up with Ellen Vaughn, who wrote a lot with Chuck Colson, and said, can you help me? I'm not a biographer. Can you help me tell her story? Hmm. And together we were privileged to write the book Mama Maggie.
Great. Well, the website is mamamaggiebook.com. Mama, M-A-M-A, Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, book.com. And Marty, it's good to have you as part of this conversation. Mrs. Mouafi, mm-hmm. Representing Egyptians here in Canada is really sort of what you are all about. Let me ask you this right off the bat, and then I want to bring David in to kind of take over this conversation because he's a lot smarter in this stuff than I am. But what do you want Canadians to really understand about your people? What are we not getting?
Yeah, it's actually, I think that it's for Canadians, you're very open to other cultures, and it's that's a very good basis that we can build up on. It's for Canadians to know that Egypt is not only that big civilization in the Middle East, but also we are very open persons. We have open culture, and we have compassion towards the poor and the deprived, and there is a very big work is going on for social solidarity over there, and Mama Maggie is one of the key representatives for this for such kind of work that's going on over there. And yeah, it's a big task to do over here, of course, in Canada. But I feel like that it's for Canadians. You are so much friendly, and you are open to other cultures, and this is a very good thing for me that works for me as well.
Well, listen, you don't know me that well, Mrs. Moafi, but I need to let you know something. The odd time I lie, and I lied when I told you I was going to go right to David, because I actually have one more question for you.
Okay.
This is the crux of the issue. So from what I hear, and you help me understand this, because I'm an ignorant fool when it comes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, the reason that there are so many orphans in Egypt is because in the Muslim faith, in your culture, it's really not looked upon favorably to adopt a child from another family and change that family's that child's heritage and last name. It's also not allowed for foreigners to adopt children. Now, are those true, or did I get something wrong?
It's not allowed. I mean, for to give them your name, but of course you can bring them up and take care about them and bring them to give them all the necessary things for them to live and. To flourish, of course, and it's I'm myself I'm an orphan, and I'm a Muslim orphan actually, and I have been brought up in the family within my family with my grandparents, and they took care of me, and it's of course, it's all the regulations, and I mean all the things will not prevent anybody from taking care from another person, and of mainly if they are orphans. And it's over there. If you go really to Cairo and I mean to Egypt, you will find such a very big work that's going on for social solidarity. The all the people, they are making lots of campaigns in order to help orphans, especially for those orphans who does not have any home, and they lost their fathers and mothers, of course, and their parents. I mean, and yeah, it's okay. There is lots of work is going on in that regard.
Okay, all right. Well, I did, there was a story of the two Americans who were arrested for trying to adopt a child, and I don't know what all went on. Maybe they didn't do it properly, or they broke some rules, or they tried to be a little shady, because it's really hard to do. It's really, international adoptions are really hard things. Just ask Madonna. She went through a hard time as well, and she's Madonna. I had to ask those two questions.
They're very difficult things. I mean, I do a lot of work, as you know, Drew, in Southeast Asia, in Cambodia in particular, and it's almost impossible to adopt a child from that country right now for so many reasons.
Right.
Very complex, very nuanced. But thank you, Mrs. Moafi, for your comments. But Marty, a quick question for you. What is it that compels a woman from privilege who is an academic who is clearly making a difference in the work that she does? What compels her to step back from that to basically live a completely different life that seems to be only about others?
Well, obviously, we're talking about Mama Maggie.
Correct. Thanks.
You know, it's amazing. You wonder when you smell the stench of the garbage and you go there and you see the poverty, well, how could somebody just surrender their whole life to this when life was good before? And from what I understand, in our interviews collecting the stories for the book Mama Maggie, she connected with one girl that looked just like her daughter, her own daughter, Mama Maggie's daughter, and was the same age. And when she made that connection, she just thought, well, what's the difference? That could have been my daughter. I could have been living that life. I mean, it's only by God's grace that I have all these things. And pretty soon she went back and visited the same girl again and again, and the girl took her back to her brothers and sisters, and she had a huge swath of brothers and sisters in this tiny little burrowed hole in the ground that they called in the trash that they called their home, and she kept just on a individual basis, went on her own, brought some friends, and just served this one family, and just thought, why can't we scale this? Why can't we do this bigger? And my favorite account is one of her staff who said that she was living the suburban life, just kind of like looking for happiness, feeling empty, remodeled her house like 6 times, thinking that would give her happiness. And when Mama Maggie said, will you come serve the poor with me, she felt liberated and for the first time found true happiness. And that's the inspiring story that's all over the work of Mama Maggie's ministry.
I see a lot of photos of her washing children's feet or washing people's feet, and I don't get the sense that these are just promotional opportunities, Marty. I get the sense that this is really, this is from the inside out.
Yeah, you know, when you watch this this almost ritual that they do for all the kids, washing their feet, you realize, hey, this is a biblical concept in a biblical land, and it makes sense. It's probably the most humiliating thing you can do is to go down to someone's smelly part of their body where it's dirty and make it clean, and it just, it says so much. It means so much. You know, we wear sneakers and have great hygiene, and we don't have any concept what it means to wash somebody's feet. And there it just, it all of a sudden the Bible comes alive, and you realize, hey, this is part of the culture. This is what people did when they greeted their visitors, and it means succumbing, being a servant, and all of these things come alive. It's just, the culture is wonderful. The Egyptian people are wonderful. It's an amazing society. It's an amazing work that Mama Maggie and so many others are doing in Egypt. It's just an amazing privilege to be able to learn about what they're doing.
We're on the phone with Dr. Marty McCary. He's the author of Mama Maggie, The Untold Story of One Woman's Mission to Love the Forgotten Children of Egypt's Garbage Slums. And also on the line, Mrs. Salwa Moafi. She is a Deputy Chief of Mission, the Embassy of the Arab Republic of Egypt. Mrs. Moafi, when we are talking about your homeland, and we are talking about children being abandoned and living in garbage dumps, let me ask it this way. If I heard somebody in another country talking about the filthy area of Toronto where the children were abandoned and orphaned and they're living in garbage dumps, I would get a little defensive. I would sort of say, you know, why are you talking about our people like that? We can handle our own, thank you very much. We don't need you all to come over here and help us. So in your case, would there not be a national pride that rises up inside of you and say, hold on, we're Egyptians. We can handle this.
Yeah, it's for me, I feel like it's actually we're doing all the work that we should do in order to transfer this or transform this experience, this bad experience, into a success story. And that's for you. You are telling what we are doing, all the efforts that's there, and it's the work of Mama Maggie. She's reflecting them by her personality and character, such a kind of person who refused to not just to live a normal life, but she wanted to outreach to the poor and deprived. And that's not only the job for Mama Maggie, but it's for all the Egyptians and for every human being. We are all, we are meant to outreach all the deprived persons, and all the countries all over the world. We have there are differences in classes and different in economic levels. This is something it's everywhere, and it's for Egypt. We are a third world country, and we are a developing country, and we are doing all what it takes in order to improve our conditions. And of course, these things, it's for me, I understand it's there. It's not so severe due to the solidarity, the social solidarity that's going on from all the people there. And if you go to Egypt, you will notice that. And it's it's for me. No, I don't have such kind of offensive feelings. No, it's not that way.
Mrs. Moafi, I do want to ask you a question about Egyptian culture in a second, but before that, if you don't mind, Marty, why are some of these kids orphans in the first place? And I know that's a very difficult question to answer in a matter of a couple of minutes on air, but can you offer some insight into that?
I can tell you the little that I know about it, and perhaps I'm not the best expert, but the work that so many amazing Egyptians are doing over there, Muslim and Christian. These are people who love their country and they love the children of their country. They are primarily serving impoverished kids. And although we have a special heart for orphans, the vast majority of folks are just kids that have difficult home situations.
Kids in need.
The father is not around. The mother has the burden of taking care of the entire household and working and educating and doing everything. And there are so many of these kids that fall into this gray zone where it's not that they don't have a family, it's that they have a tough family. And then there's also those that are just abandoned or street children or lost or they've been removed from their families. The collective group of kids, when they come for help, are coming to people who are saying, we don't care what your home situation was, we love you, and for the first time you see kids being treated with dignity, being called by their name, being celebrated.
Yeah.
Where somebody asks them, Mama Maggie asks them, what are your dreams?
And yeah, being validated.
Being validated.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Hold on. Well, just Marty, I know you've got to go, so I just want to say a couple things. Thank you, first of all, for doing what you do. Secondly, for going over there and injecting allowing all of that to impact you and then you sharing that with us. I mean, the book again, MamaMaggieBook.com is what we're talking about. And finally, I know you've given up a chunk of your Saturday and you should be doing far more important things than being on our show. So, Marty, thank you.
No, thanks for your interest and great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marty.
Bye-bye.
I know Marty had to go, so I wanted to just make sure he was free.
Mrs. Moafi, it's David here, and our interview is probably coming to an end here in a couple of minutes, but I really did want to ask you. I've never visited the Middle East yet, and I'm hoping one day I might be able to go with my family.
Well, then you're not a real Christian.
I have a love for Egyptian culture, what little I know of it. What are some of the things Canadians can learn from Egyptians?
Oh, okay. That's a very tough question because I think that it's not only the Canadians they should learn from the Egyptians. I think that it's Egyptians should learn also many positive things from the Canadians. And let me say it that way. It's for the Canadians. I would like them, of course, to know that it's my country is a very open country and it's a moderate country and peace loving. And very diverse and appreciate its diversity and that we are very compassionate people and whenever you see a very humble person, orphan, like speaking about the orphans there in Egypt, you will find some of them like very humble, look very humble, but they have the genetics of being very great persons if we just give them a chance and we allow them to empower them, if we empower them. So that's for about Egyptians and for Canadians to know about Egyptians and for Egyptians to know about Canada, that Canada is not only covered by ice.
It's snow, yes.
The whole year.
That's right.
The whole year. And the Canadians are a very excellent symbol for the diversity.
And
cherishing diversity.
Mrs. Moafi, whenever I speak to someone from another culture, whenever I get to visit another country, I'm always blown away by how difficult sometimes it can be to listen to others, and yet how rewarding it actually can be.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That's right. How rewarding it can be to open your ears and open your eyes and see what's going on around you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time, and I think Drew wants to say a quick thank you as well.
You know, I wish I could say a farewell to you in your language. Can you teach us something? How do I say goodbye or all the best for you and your family or Merry Christmas or something? I don't know. What do I say?
Okay.
Inshallah would probably do.
Sorry, say again.
Ma salema. Ma salema. It's bye-bye.
Ma salema.
Ma salema. Did I say it right?
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's right. It's excellent. Got an edition, huh?
Thank you very
and he's
much.
Even got and he's even got a little bit of an accent there, I think, Mrs.
Masalema.
Masalema, yeah.
Masalema.
Exactly.
All right, true.
True. Thank you so much for
thank you very much.
Bye, Mrs. Mouafi. Bye bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye bye.
David, complex stuff when it comes to us, you know, average white guy Canadian dudes trying to understand what's going on in another country, period. But then when you add the complications of poverty and social justice and then kids
issues
and orphans
of family and,
and religion and culture and the whole thing, I mean, man,
it's a difficult thing that we need to keep our eyes and ears open to, I believe, instead of responding and saying, wow, it's just too big. I really do believe we need to focus on something. Maybe it's not orphans. Maybe it's not gender violence. Maybe it's not bullying. It's got to be something that I think we all, you know, this whole beneficial notion of others and how they might impact our lives, I think is something that we really need to be in tune to.
Well, when it comes to this Mama Maggie stuff, what I like is that she's Egyptian. It's not some superhero Canadian or American over there with the white nun outfit.
No, it's good.
And,
right.
You know, being, it's someone from there doing stuff for them, for her people. And will we partner with her? Will we?
Yeah.
Will we?
Well, which makes it so much more culturally sound as well, right? Yeah. Way less opportunity to offend others. Mama Maggie understands the culture in a way that you or I never will.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a good point. It's almost like a family of a sort that she seems to be creating.
Well, again, we want to let you know that Nobel Peace Prize nominee Mama Maggie, the Mother Teresa of Cairo, is visiting Toronto for the first time on May 12th at 7 p.m. at Rexdale Alliance. It would be a very interesting night for you to go to, and I would highly recommend showing up. It is a free event, but you need to register, right?
You don't have to register, but I will say that we're over 200, at least 250 people have already committed to coming. We've got about 100 Facebook likes. I mean, there's only so many people we can cram into this place, but I think it's going to be packed.
It's going
to be a great night, and you need to set this time aside. It's 90 minutes out of your life, so we hope to see you there.
All right, a short break on our show. We'll be right back.